Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you'll need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hello, everyone. Welcome, my colliders. It is your favorite two-woman power trip. It's your girl, Cresta Star, and I am joined with the beautiful, the illustrious, your rest friend, Iridian. How are you, Iridian?
I'm doing so well, Cresta. How are you doing this fantastic Saturday night?
I had said this to you off air. I started with victory rolls. We got achievement rolls, and the achievement is being here with you guys this evening. There is no Rick, so it is just your favorite two-women power trip, me and Iridian. We're going to get everything started, but if you're having a good time or you're going to have a good time, give us a thumbs up. If you're watching this later on the YouTubes, hi, give us a thumbs up too, because it makes the algorithm happy when we do it. Also, if you're watching us live right now, leave us a super chat. You can get your comment read on air, and we'll show your comment too. And we get to keep money. That's great for us. Iridian's going to tell you where you can also support us with Humper Chats. Iridian?
Yes, guys. You can also support us at humperchats.com. Make sure that you get your comments read on air with us. We're going to read every single one of them. It helps support us, and we would 1,000% appreciate it. So go ahead, humperchats.com. Go over there and leave us any little amounts that you want or a lot of amounts that you want. That would be great.
We love it. Shaw Ross Sapp loves it. The Decepticons love it. Humperchats.com.
Everybody.
Ding. What a good show tonight. August 19th. What did you think about the go-home show to the go-home show for All In?
Can I tell you, I thought we had a pay-per-view tomorrow, and we don't. So I was caught off guard immediately when I was like, okay, tomorrow, what's my schedule? I have the pay-per-view. All right. And then I'm like, wait. We still have another Dynamite. We still have more pay-per-views. So, you know, that's not till next week. I was caught off guard a lot. But, you know, I thought this show was a really, really great setup. I thought a lot of the storylines really progressed. I don't think we had as much wrestling as we usually do
on
Saturdays.
Yeah, I agree with that.
But I think the storyline progression was really, really good. What did you think?
I agree with everything you said. There was a lot more stories. It felt like more of a movie. Of AEW Collision. Yes. This is a two-hour AEW Collision movie. And I think that going into All In, there's still enough space in the actual go-home show for things to get done. Also, guys, if you want to get all the scoops, don't forget to go ahead and subscribe to Fightful Select and FightfulSelect.com. If you want to get Alex Sour Graps, FightfulSelect.com. If you want to know SmackDown's creative plans and things for All In, Fightful Select, the best $5 in the biz. And plus, Sean Ross Sapp will come to your house and give you a can of soup. I made that up. He's not going to do it.
He might give you an autograph, which he's probably also not going to do. A variety of things, right?
That's what we're givers. And speaking of givers, let's start off with our first super chat that says, AEW is cooking. Look at all these great stories. Let's effing go. I agree. There was a lot of story progression tonight. Like our first match, which really wasn't a match. It was Golden Vampire versus the Young Samoa Joe. Golden Vampire got no intro. Samoa Joe came out like, who is this guy? And then immediately got GTS'd, and it was CM Punk. Mm-mm. Oridian, were you in with the crowd when they were chanting CM Punk? Like, I could smell a work a mile away.
You know what? I was not. The crowd actually let me know that it was CM Punk because the show started. This man is in the ring. I hear Samoa Joe's music and I'm like, oh, okay, there's already somebody in there. And then I was like, this guy's got a lucha mask on. I was like, am I that far away disconnected from indie wrestling that I don't know who this person is? And then his name was Golden Vampire. So I'm like, that does not make sense. The lucha, the Golden Vampire, nothing is adding up here. The math was not mathing. So when the crowd started chanting CM Punk, I said, oh my God, you're going to tell me that this man is in the ring. I know he was sweating under that mask, Cresta. I know he was. He was in there and I'm like, no way. The mask came off and it was CM Punk. I said, Lord Jesus, here we go. And we went.
We went there. I was surprised that Samoa Joe got the bamboozle so quickly. And then at the end, CM Punk said, I accept, bitch. Wow. Couth. None he has.
You know what? I'm still getting used to the fact that you can say bitch on Saturday night TV.
Yeah.
So it's just taken me a while. Catches me off guard every now and then. But damn, Joe, I thought he would have at least gotten a little bit more offense. But no, he was really caught off guard. So, all right, now we're going to get CM Punk and Samoa Joe. So I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah. And also I wanted to circle back to what you said. I was concerned as to why people were chanting CM Punk. I was like, CM Punk's not even out here. Mm-hmm. And then when I saw this tall luchador, I'm like, oh, no way. That's a tall brother. So that match was officially set up for All In Wembley. So we're going to have CM Punk versus Samoa Joe. I said it last week and I'll say it again this week. I want Samoa Joe to beat up CM Punk because I think that should be CM Punk's cross to bear. That should be his albatross. And what a good rival to have.
Yeah. And that would be just, I think, a fantastic story in the end when they both look back on their careers like, man, Samoa Joe was the one that got away, the one that, you know, he couldn't get done. And something that's interesting is now that, you know, Samoa Joe is going against Punk for the real championship.
Yeah, I heard they announced that when they were talking about it.
Yes, the same night we're going to get the real champion, MJF, also fight. So there has to be a confrontation. And I know, Cresta, we were talking about this last week. You had mentioned, what is MJF, when is he going to say something? And would this pay-per-view be a good opportunity to do that, do you think?
I think so. Even if you want to do a definitive, this belt is for this show and this belt is for this show and Rampage is fair game, I wouldn't mind that either. But I think in order for that to happen, I don't want to say this. I want my boy Adam Cole to win. MJF has to beat Adam Cole kind of mercilessly and like be the devil himself. Because remember, the greatest trick the devil ever did was convincing you he don't exist. Mm-hmm. So I think that's the perfect way to answer that. But it has to be addressed by MJF. Because at the end of the day, MJF is the one getting the short end of CM Punk's stick.
Yeah. And put that on a t-shirt.
Tell me what I'm telling lies. The next match did tell a lot of lies. Yeah. We had all of Bullet Club come out there, and I wasn't sure if it was Bullet Club or who was wrestling. As it turns out, it was just Jay White versus Dalton Castle. We had the whole Bullet Club gold and Card Blade, Jay White, out there. The match itself was a lot of fun. If you guys don't know who Dalton Castle is, he is a Ring of Honor guy. Every week when me and Joel switch over on Thursday, shameless self-promotion for the Ring of Honor and Impact show, Kate is always raving and roaring about how cool Dalton Castle is. I'm just going to give you guys the highlights because we all know what's going to happen here. Highlight from Kevin Kelly. He said, I named my fish Juice Robinson.
Please, I wrote that down too, and I was like, sure. That was so genius. I need to get a fish now.
I think this is a great time to do this super chat. Ricardo sends in $2, and the Ricardo El Notorio comes in and says, I love Kelly, but Rika Bonnie, he ain't. I miss him already. This joke was like, all right. I could see Rika Bonnie with them because I missed Rickabani when Willow came out. I kind of got used to the raps. And Nigel didn't even try, but I'll wait till we get there. But this, I was like, okay, Kevin Kill, I think there's space for all three of you.
Yeah, I agree with you. Ian was missed tonight, but I do think that they all sounded good. It was fine. But that, what did he say? That the swim?
Yes.
Jesus. Insane. That the Juice Robin swim. That was just so genius. Oh, my goodness.
I will say that was the most lighthearted part of the match because, woo, boy, did Jay White try to slap the skin off of Dalton Castle's chest. The match started off with Dalton Castle pretty much getting whipped in the corner and just, man, he chopped this man's chest off. Somebody on Twitter had tweeted at me saying, why does AEW feel the need to have a chop off every week? And I'm like, well, how else is everyone going to get their souvenirs if not a pound of a wrestler's flesh? Because that was serious stuff. There was a nice suplex when we came back from pitcher in pitcher from Dalton Castle to turn the tides, and that led into a knee, to a near fall, to two suplexes, into a deadlift German, and then him getting yeeted off of Jay White, who said, stop it, I'm tired of your comeback. The match ended up with a Blade Runner on Dalton Castle, because of course it did. I've talked for too much. What did you think about the match, Iridian?
You know what? Anytime Bullet Club Gold is out there, it's always a hot mess. I feel like I'm keeping track of a million things, and that's what it felt like tonight. You know, Jay White, who was fighting tonight, you're like, okay, it's just Jay White, but then, oh, here come the guns. Here comes Juice. And they are just all a mess. But as soon as Dalton Castle came out with his boys, I'm like, oh my goodness, all right. There's going to be shenanigans ringside, because there's no way there's going to be that many people outside the ring and nothing's going to happen. And I love Dalton Castle. I think that man is just so extremely talented, and he's so much fun, super different. And he's just a fun time to watch. So having them both in the ring was just really, really fun in itself. And man, poor Kevin, because I know Kevin from the indies. I was like, oh my God, yes, I've seen you before. And then I was like, oh man, this is not going to go well. Like, geez, it's crazy. But Dalton, just really sad for him. I thought it was just not good.
It was a stiff match, but for all intents and purposes, the meat and potatoes in the rings were great. And I will say Dalton Castle licks a part of my brain that Orange Cassidy does.
Like
that.
Way.
Yeah. It's so, it's that fine line of this is brilliant and what the hell am I watching? It's so good.
Really, really good stuff, man. And
I'm sorry.
No, go ahead. Everybody was yelling. Everybody was yelling outside. I was like, please, can we just volume down just a little bit?
It was so bad to the point I was like, wait, isn't a multi-man match? Because even the boys ran into the ring because they were getting chased by the guns. You see them in picture, and all in my mind, I'm hearing the Benny Hill music. But the shenanigans don't stop there, because after Jay White wins, there's a whole promo with Tony, poor Tony Schiavone tonight. He was working triple overtime and getting abused every time. He goes out to the ring and Bullet Club Gold goes on to say how they put Kenny Omega in the hospital. The guns were using Tony's hand to hold up the gun. I'm trying to read this with a straight face, but the whole time Tony Schiavone looked like it was a hostage situation. I felt so bad for him. Jay White then goes on to say that the Elite have deceived all of you into believing that they are the pinnacle of the Bullet Club, and that at All In, they're going to show you that Bullet Club Gold, this version, is the better version of Bullet Club. Then we get the guns, who get on the mic and say, we're the best brother tag team. We're going to show that to the Elite. And then they challenge any three people in the back, because Juice is rock hard and he's ready to go. Before we go on to the next match, Iridia, what did you think about this mini segue?
Poor Tony Schiavone. They really took the mic out of that man's hand. Jay White was slapping it out of him. He took the mic, went away. And then not only was Jay out of the picture, now you got the guns. They were like, guns, sir. Guns.
They're like, do it. It really had this man's hand up like this.
They were holding his hand the whole time, and they're like, you gotta hold it. You gotta do it. Like, I feel so bad for Tony. They just literally do whatever they want with that man. And it was comedy gold. It was so good. And I really like this dynamic that they're making of, like, you know, there's the elite, but we're also the elite in a kind of way. We have a hangman, we have a brother duo. So, you know, what's really different about them than us? So I just think that that's going to make for really, really great matches coming in the pay-per-view. But yeah, let's get into this next match because Lord Jesus, the shenanigans just kept coming.
So the next match is segues into Iron Savages, which you got Jack Jameson, Bear Bronson, and Bear Boulder saying, we'll fight you guys. And Jack Jameson came out there hot, like LA Night hot. He was like, I don't care. We're juiced up. We're beef. We're going to beat your guys' butts. That didn't happen, but I like the enthusiasm. I was here for it because it was literally a tale of power versus how can we cheat you out of your boots? And that's exactly what happened. The Iron Savages, they really tried when they had the big spots. All I really wrote was Savages getting bamboozled out their boots. Because that's what it was. I want to have better notes than this, you guys. I apologize. But literally, every time the Iron Savages had a moment to get up, here comes Juice Robinson coming in the ring. You have Jay White on the mic with cut out Jay Board or whatever it is. Blade Jay. I don't know what it's called.
Oh my God.
But this match was a menace. Of course, Juice Robinson gets the pin with a Famouser. And that's after the 310 to Yuma. The second one they tried to hit, they did get it. I think it was on Bear Boulder. They got the second 310 because the first 310 to Yuma, he couldn't get up. I believe that was Bear Bronson. I'm sorry. Their both names are Bear, but the last name is different. My apologies. And if that's not their names, I apologize again. Please don't beat me up. That's big meaty men slapping a small woman. My apologies. What did you think about that, Iridian?
Oh my God. No, I also have minimal notes on this, just like you. I have that Nigel on commentary during this match was perfection because one of the guys from Iron Savages said something very inappropriate about the ass boys. And then Nigel on commentary just goes, what? Like they had said something along the lines of I'm gonna something the ass boys or whatever, and it was like he did like a little like motorboat kind of thing. So
oh yeah,
what?
It's really Danhausen's fault. Once Danhausen called them the ass boys, it has been curtains ever since.
Gun. And then someone they were in the ring, one of the guns, and he's like, who's an ass boy now? And everybody chanted, you! They're really never going to get rid of that. It's legit a curse, and it's forever going to be with them. And you've said this before. Once you're cursed. So, sorry. Yeah.
I don't make the rules. You better find a healer.
Also, Jay White was on commentary. Not from the beginning of the match. They went and got some headphones for this man and then let him do commentary. So half the match, it's just Jay White yelling for them to do stuff. And I'm like, oh my goodness. And then Juice was yelling, this is my V trigger. So he was like the Kenny Omega. It was just, oh my goodness. What a fun match. But you know that there's just going to be some craziness anytime that they are in the ring. And that's exactly what they got. So, It was just fun. The minimal notes, but great fun match.
It was a cluster cluck. It was a lot of fun. And we've got Bizarro, Big L Humperchat, who agrees. He also says, Punk really playing into the haters. Talk about sucking the life out of a room. It's a good day when I see Dalton Castle and Rick doing me dirty last week. Don't take L's, just like my brother Big E. Hand them out like the Bengals playoff losses. Go Steelers. I feel like that was a foosball reference, but
that was a lot of references. I mean, Rick, we got to show that one to him because I do not understand.
For what it's worth, the only competitive sports I watch are esports, professional wrestling, and RuPaul's Drag Race. My apologies.
But thank you so much for that Humper Chat, guys. Make sure that you
appreciate you.
Humperchats.com and go send that message to us so we can read it on air and we'll talk about it just like we did just now. So
I feel obligated because I've heard it before, but something go Bengals. I feel obligated. Okay. I feel like Sean and Rick have both said something about the Bengals, so go Bengals, I guess. I have no allegiance. I'm not loyal. All right. Speaking of people being not loyal, let's talk about the ass boy's father, Billy Gunn. We got us a Billy Gunn leaving recap, which led into a House of Black video message in response to Billy Gunn leaving, which I thought with the goofiness of the last match, the transition into going into Billy Gunn, it took a really serious turn. Malachi Black is one bad man. He gave us the definition of a funeral. And then he said, we just had to remind Billy Gunn that he's already been dead. It cuts to a shot of them throwing Billy Gunn's boots into the compactor, which he ends with a rest in pain. Now, the match, the video before that showed the interview of the Acclaimed teaming up with Billy Gunn. Billy Gunn pretty much being their cheerleader, and then Billy Gunn walking out. To have the juxtaposition of Billy Gunn, we miss you, we love you, to such a crazy, ominous, like, yo, rest in piss, bozo, never come back. What did you think about that already? And was it, was, am I looking too much into it? Because I thought it was almost like happy, sad Greek tragedy almost.
You know what? It was very cinematic and I did appreciate it, but I was also a little confused because I still don't know if Billy Gunn is really retired. And I don't know if that's just me holding on to hope that he's still coming back. Mm-hmm. But the way that they were making it seem, I'm like, all right, well, is he going to join the House of Black? What's happening? And then I was trying to picture Billy Gunn as a member of the House of Black and I couldn't do it. So
not me either. I can't do it. But then again,
have you guys seen Chuck Norris lately? He's still kicking butt, staying active, well into his 80s. What's even more shocking is he looked more jacked than ever and seems to have more energy than guys half his age. And it's all thanks to Morning Kick, a revolutionary new daily drink from Roundhouse Provisions that combines ultra-potent greens like spirulina and kale with probiotics, prebiotics, collagen, and even ashwagandha. Just mix it with water, stir, and enjoy. Unlike the other green drinks out there, this one tastes exactly like strawberry lemonade, has hundreds of five-star reviews. I love the taste of this. I love the way that I feel after drinking it. I've never felt better. My digestion is smoother, body looks leaner, I have energy all day. I just feel younger. And the flavor is so much better than other green drinks. Go to roundhouseprovisions.com/Fightful for up to 44% off your regular price order. Every purchase is packed with a 90-day money-back guarantee. So if you want to experience smoother digestion, boost of energy, and overall a healthier body, go to roundhouseprovisions.com/Fightful today.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Stranger things have been known to happen to professional wrestlers.
Exactly. I keep thinking about how Julia was a cheerleader before. You know, she was with the Varsity Blondes, and look at her now, completely 180. So I don't know. I really, really did like this promo, though. But okay, you don't have to do him that dirty. Like, he's still on the roster.
Yo, it is funny. We have another super chat that says, Cardboard J White. I'm sorry. I love Card Blade J White. Board is still this. That name is giving me the Andrade El Idolo treatment.
Oh my goodness!
Because this is kicking my ass. This one is killing me.
You know what? Speaking about that cardboard, they really do need to start selling that in the merch store.
Yes.
That's a missed opportunity if they don't, because I could just imagine all little Jay Whites in the comment in the crowd. Oh my goodness.
Because you know what's crazy is that somebody else is gonna do it and go put it on TikTok and they're gonna get a cease and desist from AEW. So you might as well jump on, even if you make them like little like the finger puppets back in the day. This is free. Call me anytime. Call me anytime, Tony. But like you get the little hand puppets with Jay, you can do it. You like seriously, yeah. So that's a missed opportunity. That's a lot of merch right there. It's funny too that the House of Black promo and the Billy Gunn promo leads then into Jose the assistant. Now, this one is crazy because did Roosh orchestrate a kidnapping hit on Preston Vance and Julistico? Like,
that's crazy, right? Crazy. So I was a huge fan of this because they were cutting the promo in Spanish. And Señor Roosh was talking about, all right, I'm going to need you guys to all show up to Mexico. And Jose was like, Mexico? Right now, like, we can't have this meeting over the phone? Clearly not. So that was just interesting kidnapping of two members who I guess haven't been that prevalent in the group. And Rouge was saying that he wants a team of badasses. So either they're not good enough, or, you know, Rouge is clearly planning some on having some like top level talent on in his new group. So I don't know. I was a little scared though.
I was a little scared too. I mean, I think that Julissico and Preston Vance have the stones. Mm-hmm. It was giving to me, I don't know if you're familiar with the Violent by Design storyline, mm-hmm. but in the very beginning, Eric Young kidnapped Cody Deaner and Guantanamo'd him for like 2 months. I know that sounds really harsh and scary, but after that, Cody Deaner was, he was no longer Cody Deaner getting drunk. He was just Deaner being violent. So these were already big violent, especially Preston Vance.
Yeah.
Either that or L.I.J. L.I.J.
Yep. That's what I'm thinking is going to happen. Hopefully for a little while, but we really need a set faction with them because mm-hmm. I feel like Andrade has been really waving his flag, you know, for somebody to help, and nobody has been helping him. So I think this is a good time to bring in a faction, and LNJ, I don't know. That would be great.
I think LIJ versus House of Black, I would actually put stock in someone actually beating House of Black. Because wow. no shade. Besides like the Elite, Bullet Club, Gold, there's no, and Death Triangle, there's no real three people fashion. Best Friends, I'm sorry. I want you guys to have everything. But the Best Friends, they don't win nothing. I'm sorry. I want them to have everything. But they don't win nothing.
Mm-hmm. Oh, man.
Somebody says it's LFI, not LIJ.
Look at that. Corrections. We are here for the corrections.
Thank you.
We appreciate you guys. This is why you're here with us tonight. 1,000%. Thank you.
Correction, I want to say the right things. Exactly.
Yes.
I thought it was Los Ig.
Honestly, it could be a lot of things. I see it. You know, La Facción Ingobernable, or, you know, I don't know. Yeah, you're right.
Do you know what this is giving? This is giving when FTR first came to AEW. What does FTR stand for? After arrival. Mm-hmm. F this. Mm-hmm. It could mean anything.
Whatever
your heart desires.
Y'all knew who we were talking about at the end of the day. Y'all knew what we were trying to say.
Come here, Mark. We're all looking at each other. We're saying the same thing. Moving right along, we go on to a Ricky Starks backstage interview with, once again, Tony Schiavone.
Oh my God.
Getting just yoked around this show. He said, how I get in trouble and I get suspended and Tony Schiavone be messing up all the time and he's just fine. I love this. He is such a joke. He said, I am bringing the chaos. I've always been this way. And then they cut to a shot of Big Bill over Tony Schiavone, who did nothing but hold the mic. Mm-mm. It then cuts into a video package for the new heel persona for, I guess, Ricky Starks. Before we go into the match, how did you feel about this interview and subsequent video package, Iridian?
You know what? Ricky said he feels like AEW is just being run like a nonprofit. And when I tell you, that hurt me a little because I went to art school. So
Damn, same.
I went to a nonprofit.
I went to a musical performance school, so I get it. It's the same thing. It's a grift now.
Like, nonprofits are important. Ricky, come on. You know this. But, man, when he said that, I'm like, I get it. Internal structure, not great. Man, that promo, though, I think we are seeing the cusp of greatness that Ricky Starks is going to be thrown into, hopefully, because we've advocated for a long time for Ricky. Like, okay, we want better. We want more from him. We want him to have a bigger role. With his suspension, I feel suspension because I don't know why he would be suspended. Everyone else gets to run wild, but then Ricky Starks does something and then you suspend him. So I don't know. It is going to be interesting to see what he does in these next couple weeks, because him and Big Bill, which unexpected, by the way, I didn't think that they were going to pair them two together to see what they're going to do, because Ricky said it's fair game for everybody. He came out with the belt. Lord Jesus, it was like all hell was going to rain loose.
I like that we've got Ricky Starks managing Big Bill. Like, I want the world. I'm going to tell y'all a little secret about me, and please don't throw rocks at me. But when I first got into wrestling in 2018, again, the first tag team that really did it for me was Enzo Amore and Big Cass. So don't, please, please. I already have shade, okay?
No shade to you. They're a great tag team. They were great on the mic. They did some good work as a team together.
Right. So I'm so happy to see Big Bill in any capacity do stuff. And it kind of gives me shades of the same because Big Bill has improved significantly. He looks great. And Ricky Starks can go in the ring and his mouth is slicker. Oh, slicker than a snooker. I am so happy for these two. I cannot wait to see what disrespect these two. Because you know Big Cat's been with the jokes. I'm sorry, not Big Cat. Big Bill been with the jokes. He been with the jokes.
Man. I am interested, yeah, like I said before, just to see what they're going to do with him. Because the crowd has really been behind Big Bill for the past couple weeks, mm-hmm. which was surprising to me because it felt like he really came out of nowhere. He wasn't really doing a lot. And then all of a sudden the crowd was like, yes, you know, we're here for him. I think it was in a battle royal that they had recently that the crowd was like really, really for him. So
with him and Brian Cage when they yes. were in that tag team, I think for the ROH tag titles.
Yes, that one. And I was like, okay. Caught off guard a little bit, but it was nice. So good for him for also getting a little bit of push because Ricky is, I feel like this close yeah. to just being a trailblazer. He already is, but like in a bigger way, you yeah. showcased in AEW. So yeah, I'm excited for that.
I agree. I know this is high praise and whatever it is, but I think he gives me shades of like Jimmy Hart when he's a manager. Like all he just needs is a microphone. I mean, a mega speaker. Yeah, a megaphone. And he'll be set through the roof. And speaking a little, of people.
It would be a little Louis one with a little brand on the side. Mm.
He would still wear the red and the glasses and tell people to shut up on them. Like Eddie Kingston almost. Well, speaking of people getting told to shut up, partner, poor Derek Neal. The match was over if you look like this. It was Derek Neal versus Big Bill. Big Bill chokeslammed that man from the heavens for the pin. I don't have any other notes. Do you, Iridian, about this
Honestly,
match?
Honestly, I forgot about that one. I didn't even write it in here. I just said, Ricky is managing Big Bill. And I said, he dressed the part. So you look great, Ricky.
I love it when really charismatic wrestlers heal it up, and that's exactly what he's doing, and it doesn't get any better than this is really good. There was a post-match angle where Stark started beating up Neil with the same belt that he beat Steamboat with. They're really driving that in, and yeah. that was it. So good stuff for Big Bill. After that, we had a video package for Darby Allin and Nick Wayne versus AR Fox and Swerve about them attacking each other in the people's schools, turf wars.
Yeah.
Do you have anything to add to that?
No, I'm excited for this feud. I am really ready to see Nick Wayne in AEW. So his pairing with Darby, I feel like it's just something that will only help him. Mm-hmm. What's interesting is that in the promo, Nick is like kind of having an internal battle. Like, dang, is this what I got to do for you guys to like, you know, take me seriously or for you guys to know my name is to do some like crazy stuff. So as long as he doesn't get as crazy as Darby, I think we'll all be fine.
I also feel like Darby is one of those people, especially in AEW, that the crowd loves him.
Oh,
and
yeah.
if you are aligned with him, they're going to love you too. Darby and Sting together is spooky dad and his spooky son, and they got their normal cousin who just wants to hang out. Listen, I was the spooky cousin for a long time with the normal family, so I get it.
You said, I can relate.
I got it. But if you also want to get it too, this is the shameless self-promotion plug for FightfulSelect.com. Yes, Fightful Select. $5, the minimum of $5 will get you all the scoops. The scoops like, let me check my scoop notes. There's an interview up there with Stephanie Chase, Coexisting After Dark with Rob and Maggie. Mm-hmm. Even our show, this show right here. You can find all the notes and everything. Sean Ross Sapp, The List With Your Boy. The things go on and on. Fightful Select, $5, the best $5 in the biz. Do it or I'll put mashed potatoes in your pocket. I don't know.
And that's a threat. Well, let's read some super chats because we do have some of those. Going back to Bullet Club Gold and the Iron Savages, Matthew Hook says, Juice and Tony need to be together on screen. Money. We did see a little bit of Tony. What did you think of her and Lexi backstage, who she did not recognize from last week?
Bro. Toni Storm as a complete psychopath. This old Hollywood fired starlet. No, there's a more specific example. If you've ever seen Chicago, the play or the movie, that the girl who the show is about, but the girl who she's replacing at the second end of the show, that's Toni Storm's whole character. The fishnets are ripped. I'm angry. Don't point out that my fishnets are old and ripped. And what do you mean my lace has moths on it? How dare you? I don't even know who you are. You the help? I live for this. I love it. Her and Juice Robinson together, an entitled gremlin and a gremlin.
Literally money. I would pay to see that mixed tag team every single time. The way that Toni just clutches her pearls every single segment, I feel like she's just stressed. She's appalled. She can't believe it all the time, which I'm 1,000% for. I'm here for her. She looks like she is about almost losing her mind, but not there.
It's giving, mother, I can't take this. I woke up today and I was so parched. I'm going to faint. I feel weak. Where's my sniffing salts?
And it works. Like,
it's so good.
The amount of crazy that she's giving right now and the amount of crazy that Juice is, it is just perfection. So we need to do more with them together. I agree.
I agree with that completely. Oh, I think I missed this Humper Chat too. My fault. Bizarro, Big L is a Humper Chat, says, for LFI, the kidnapping looks similar to the intentions of the recruits. So Roosh could be disposing or training them harshly. And Ricky needs to be careful. He doesn't make, I'm sorry. And Ricky needs to be careful he doesn't make Zangief jealous. Zangief Bill away. And Cresta, Enzo is making a New Japan World Pro Wrestling debut soon. I'm sorry, the Zangief line, I lost it after that. I couldn't keep it together. Because to me, when I hear Zangief, I'm like, are you talking about the way Big Bill looks? You talk about Christian, Brian Cage, because Brian Cage is Zangief, and so is Miro.
Oh my goodness. Well, guys, make sure you keep those Humper Chats and Super Chats coming. Humperchats.com, get your comments read on air. Suggestions, correct us, let us know what you want to hear. We are here for you.
Period. You know what I was also here for? This Willow Nightingale versus Diamante match. Now, I said this when I read the super chat earlier about, I'm gonna just put this super chat up one more again. I'm blind. Hold on. Here we go. Love Kelly, but Rick Abani, he ain't. Miss him already. And this is where I missed him the most. I kind of got used to the Willow Nightingale rap. I don't care if you guys think it's corny or whatever. I thought it was great. But not having Ian Riccoboni here, I really missed it. Nigel didn't even try.
And you know what? He tried the rest of the night, so it just didn't make sense why he didn't try here. He's just, anything that Kelly does, he's like, no. Anything that Kevin does, he's like, nope, not here for it. So
this match was a stiff match. Diamante was stiff on Willow straight from the jump, had her in the corner on the ropes, and then threw her down into the middle of the ring and was just using her forearms on her back as well. Like, in the first 5-10 minutes, Mercedes Martinez, like, I'm just goofing. I'm just saying, look, I'm just goofing. And I'm like, all right, they're shenanigans. Mm-mm. It feels like immediately then after that, we go into a picture-in-picture. And as soon as those words left my mouth, there's about to be some shenanigans. Here's Mercedes Martinez when the ref's back is turned, pulling on Willow Nightingale's hair. Guys, I promise you I'm a professional. When we come back from pitcher to pitcher, Willow gets the power up, the power save. The crowd is chanting, let's go, Willow. Mm-hmm. There's two count after two big over-the-head DDT from Diamante gets countered because this girl yeets her again. And that seemed to be the spot of the night. The little people trying to get a spot and the big person said, get off me. Mm-hmm. Chris Statlander eventually comes out to even up the odds. And right after that, we get a doctor bomb? Is that what her power bomb is called for a finisher?
I'm not sure.
I thought I heard them say the doctor bomb, but I'm also, listen, I got the Gertrude haircut. I'm a little deaf too. So I was like, she got the power bomb on Diamante for the win. What did you think about this match? And did you also miss Ian Riccoboni's rap?
I did. You know, it was felt throughout the whole night that Ian wasn't there. Not in like a bad way, because Kevin is also good. So
agreed.
Yeah, that, I mean, that just was what it was. But Willow versus Diamante, this match was hitting a little hard. I didn't think that they were.
Ah, we got a wild Sean Ross Sapp. He said, Cressa, you can't do this. Get out of here. Wait, are we in the same house? Are you upstairs?
I am upstairs, but hold on. I'm coming downstairs.
All right. Ladies and gentlemen, the two woman power trip.
Where are you? Where are
where are you?
I can't believe I was not invited. Offended. It's okay.
Well, I mean, all you have to do to be invited is go to your settings and virtual background, and then you'll absolutely be invited. But yeah, I was at this show in Lexington. It was 3 miles up the road from my house. This may be a shocker. I am not staying for the 9 ROH matches that they are filming right now. Although as I'm leaving, I see that Zack Sabre Jr. was on the show. And I was like, oh, okay, that's cool. They're filming Rampage as well. They did Rampage before this. QT Marshall cut his promos in Spanish, which was very funny.
Love that.
Yeah. There was a lot to this, but the show itself was long.
Oh,
I can imagine, because I don't think they're going to be doing anything Saturday or Friday next week.
Yeah, so they were going ahead and filming a lot of stuff. But I mean, like, it really did peak early with the CM Punk thing and him hitting that spot. And I feel like it didn't recover towards the end for the live crowd. That being said, Bullet Club Gold was very over, but it felt like they were out there for an hour. Like, it, live, it felt like they were out there for an hour, and they're very, very good and all that. But, like, my God, man, it's just, there was just, it needed a little bit of a pace break, I think, during some of this. And live, they don't have a lot of like the hype videos that WWE has or anything like that. Instead, it's pretty well just the collision theme, and then they go in and out, and occasionally Dasha will talk to you. Willow and Diamante, I think, actually went a little light on their time, and it felt like it was a pretty long match. But Darby Allin doing these types of bumps a week before All In, and then cutting a promo after the show saying, you know what, I know there's like 3,000 or 4,000 people here, but I don't treat any show like there's 3,000 or 4,000 people here. I treat it like there's going to be 80,000 next week, which I really, really respect. Hobbs smashed. That was fun. But you know, this was a very light show as it pertains to like the CMFTRs of the world. And obviously you don't have FTR out there for obvious reasons right now, but Punk was very much like a first 3 minutes of the show thing. And then poof, he's gone.
Which was crazy, because me and Iridium were saying that this felt like almost like a movie. There was a lot of cinematics and promos. Yes. And it's funny that you say that Bullet Club was out there a long time, because I thought the same thing as well through the commercials. Mm-hmm. So you guys weren't seeing all the video packages we were seeing.
Some of them we did, like we saw the Ricky Starks one. We saw what all video packages did you see? We saw the FTR one, but I mean, like during commercials, a lot of times it would just be the collision theme sort of on repeat. And then of course, Bullet Club Gold, obviously they had to have been out there through 3 or 4 commercial breaks, because they were out there for a good 40, 45 minutes. It felt like.
Yeah, did you guys see the Rouge kidnapping?
Okay, yes, we did see that. We did see that. But I meant, yeah. So I mean, there were plenty of those, but like in between a lot of that stuff, when you would know that they were going to commercial, it was interesting, the change of pace. Dalton Castle was really over in Lexington. I liked that. That made me very, very happy. Willow was over in Lexington as well. Perhaps most shockingly, the Iron Savages were really over in Lexington for that hot tag. Like the crowd was just, I think at that point, excited to see Bullet Club get their asses whipped. So
everybody
when that hot
hates
tag,
ass boys.
There you go. Oh yeah, they got great heat. They got great heat. Those two guys looked like they grew up watching wrestling, but the only person they watched was their dad. At all. It's like they just turned off the TV whenever Billy Gunn was off the TV, because they do all the same stuff. It was okay. It certainly isn't anywhere near the top of like the shows that I have attended this year. Actually, probably more towards the bottom, but there was the cool CM Punk moment, a fantastic match to end the show. Christian is one of those wrestlers that I will never take for granted getting to see him perform in person. But it just felt like the pacing was like a little long, and it's going to be even longer. People are going to be at this show and probably until well after midnight, I would imagine.
The last time I heard of anything like that was the last time they did Mania, where it was all the matches in one night.
Yeah.
WrestleMania, never ending.
Because so interestingly enough, this show was originally listed as starting at 6 because they were considering doing the double taping for Collision. And they can't film ROH and Rampage on Wednesday because they're filming Collision on Wednesday. Yes. So they got that double taping and they couldn't do the double taping tonight as originally like speculated, because the original start time was 6. Recently it got moved up to 7:30. I'm like, why didn't they just maybe do 6:30 or 7? It's a Saturday. You can do that here. Like, people aren't at work like they would be during the week. It's a little bit easier to add stuff to a Saturday show than it is a Wednesday show, but hey, it's their company, right?
Very true. Very true on that.
Yeah. And also too, like, how much stuff are they really going to do tonight to give your body a whole week to recover? You know what I mean? If you're not on Wednesday.
Well, I'll be there next weekend. And this nice person down here going to be representing Fightful in a couple of weeks. We are so, so happy to have her doing that. Cresta, you hit up which show was it in New York?
I went to SmackDown, but I'm trying to go to Grand Slam.
Okay. Well, we'll try to make that happen. we're all over the place. Joel Pearl was in Toronto for SmackDown last night. I should have been in SmackDown this Friday for Louisville, but I'll be on a plane to London. I will be at the Undertaker's one-man show on Thursday, though. Turn right back around. And of course, we got the Chicago thing. AEW's coming to Cincinnati, so I'll be going to that.
Oh, I said go Bengals earlier. Yeah. Is that right?
Yes, that's okay. Right. Look, okay. Right over there is my Bengals studio. I've got a Bengals set up over there, too. Yeah. Wow. Got the Cincinnati Reds. That's Macho Man Randy Savage when he played minor league baseball for the Reds.
Okay. I believe it, even if you're lying to me.
And yeah. Look at the pattern. Look at the pattern screwing with the camera.
That's Turn cool. off your green screen.
Guys, thank you all so much. You all are killing it. I appreciate you.
Thank you, Sean, for popping in.
Yes. Yeah.
See ya.
See ya. Wow. Sean is gone. The two-woman power trip. Back in. Get out.
Dad's gone. We can have a house party.
Dad is gone. Now I totally forgot where we were. Thanks, Dad. I think we're
just finishing up with Willow and Diamante. Willow,
I was asking what you thought about it. Yes.
Willow, I thought, was really, really good. They were really hitting each other hard during this match, which was unexpected, but it was really, really great. Willow absolutely Keith lead Diamante outside. So that's going to be my new thing, is getting Keith lead, because Adam Cole Bebe was thrown so far into the crowd in NXT when Keith Lee did that. I had a flashback to when Willow did that. I'm like, oh my God, Diamante really sold her soul on that cell. So I absolutely appreciated it. And Mercedes was just outside causing mayhem as usual, which I absolutely love. I love all of these women. I think they are so great. And this was just a really, really good match. And I'm glad that they got to have their time.
Yeah, I agree. I'm happy to see Diamante on AEW or ROH TV. Because I remember when they first brought this girl over here, she did this tag team tournament that I feel like she disappeared.
Yep.
So to see her with Mercedes Martinez, who's out here just being like a menace, 10 out of 10. 10 out of 10.
Yeah.
Next, we got here I am. We had the FTR versus Young Buck video package for who's going to be the best in all the land. And they were also hyping up at the beginning of the show, that really good. They say the FTR is in the news. We're going to hear comments about FTR. And then this is all we got. Now, I understand. I'm not dumb. I understand how this works and why you wouldn't want to. But then why even bring it up? You know what I mean? I think we all would have understood if you would have left it alone. But I felt like they made it a point to say they've been on the news and you're going to hear about them. So I'm like, did you find that odd?
Very, I'm with you. I found it very odd because, you know, it's also like a lose-lose situation for them. Like, if they come out, people are going to say things. If they don't come out, people are going to say things. But yeah, if you weren't going to bring them out, then don't shout them out in the beginning. And, you know, you were thinking that, you know, we were going to get something and we didn't even really get anything. So I guess they were just in a really tough spot this weekend. I was waiting to see. I was like, what are they going to do Saturday? Are we going to see them? Are we not going to see them? And we didn't. And of course, you know, it was expected that we weren't going to see them. So interesting play on this part for today. Yeah. What did you think, you know, besides it being crazy?
That was it. You know, I had said this on Twitter. At the end of the day, I'm glad no one was seriously hurt. And that's what's important. I understand why you would want to talk about it. Like you said, it's a lose-lose. We do have a super chat from Patrick Short. Speaking of FTR, this is FTR adjacent. This was before Sean Ross Sapp left. He said, Sean Ross Sapp, did Punk accept his Fightful Award? Dad, did he accept his Fightful Award? I don't know if he's going to do that.
Who knows? I don't think so.
I don't think so. maybe not. But yeah, the FTR thing was fine. I'm glad everyone is safe. Yeah. After that, there was the interview with Lexi and Tony Storm. Already went over that. Mm-hmm. Then there was Powerhouse Hobbs versus Kevin Koo. The best part of this match was Kevin Kelly saying, us Kevins have to stick together.
Yeah, and it's little things like that where you're like, genius stuff on commentary.
I think, listen, Nigel McGuinness as the straight guy, you have Kevin Kelly as kind of the straight guy, and Ian Riccaboni as just yuck. That's perfect. That is fantastic. Because I know JR comes out later, but it was a perfect use of JR, and I wouldn't even hate a four-man booth with them. But oh my God, when he said, us Kevin's got to stick together, I laughed because my dad's name is Kevin.
That is so funny.
I can hear my dad saying something like that too. This was great. This was great stuff on commentary, but not great stuff for Kevin Koo, who like maybe for 5 seconds, 10 seconds, got some little offensive. And then Will Hobbs said, get that out of here. Hits him with the spine buster for the win. I wish we had a better name or a different move for that, but whatever. It's effective. It looks good. What did you think of the match before we get into the post-match?
Yeah, I thought, you know, I was happy to see Kevin. I'm like, all right, cool. Let's do it. But then Powerhouse, I'm like, oh, man, if we got to do something with the storyline, Kevin is not going to have a good day. And the Kevins were not sticking together because one of them lost in the ranks.
He could have got up and hit him with a steel chair, but clearly the Kevins were not sticking together.
Uh-uh. Also, when Hobbs got the pin, he was just chanting redeem, which I was like, okay, that's weird, sir. I don't know. But let's get into what happened after this match, because this was a pretty quick match. It was, you know, Kevin never stood a chance, really.
Poor Kevin. Shout out to Kevin Koo. After the match, he uses the game over on Kevin Koo, to which Miro gives him a video package in response. Like Meridian kept saying that he was yelling out Redeemer at the end of that match. Miro says, we are a lot alike. This is paraphrasing because I can't write that fast. We're a lot alike. I used to rely on a book too, but now I walk alone. I am godless, but I know you are not because you pray to me now. I swear in that moment, I heard Nicki Minaj saying, you bitches are my sons. Because that's what you just called William Hobbs. You called this man William Hobbs like, you're my son. Go sit on the potty. You are my son now. You want to be redeemed? Ask the last guy who asked to be redeemed. All he got was a couple of shirts that said, redeem these nuts. Like, it's no, I love Eddie Kingston, but ask the last guy. You know what I mean? Leave me alone to be sad and mad and godless. And here you come bothering me, which I like. I thought he was going to make a Death Note joke, but I digress. I'm here for it. I want to see these two big meaty men slapping me. I don't want a 30-minute classic. What did you think of Miro's promo? Because those lines were savage.
Oh, man. Miro literally told Hobbs, he's like, bro, like, what you are right now is a copy of what I was. Like, I had the book. We both have the muscles. Like, we need to get over it. And now we're finally going to get this fight. And I think they announced it for All Out. So that should be really, really good. That's going to be a hard-hitting match if I've ever seen one. Very interested to see, like, whoever wins in this situation, where will we go from here? Because, yeah, you know, are we keeping the books? I feel like the Book of Hobbs can just be thrown out the window. Are they going to join a faction? Who knows? But that match is going to be so good. And I know you're going to be excited for it.
Because I'm going to get stiff, but no blood, because y'all know I'm soft. But also, I will say, to your point, I find that that Hobbs and Miro have start-stop pushes in AEW. So whoever wins, I want you to actually do something with them. I don't want them to fade into obscurity, because Hobbs has won before, mm-hmm, and then we don't see him, or he's back fooling with QT Marshall. And Miro's won before, and then we don't see him, and then he's doing God promos again in a couple of months. Yeah. So I want them to do something with them afterwards, or else, you know, Tony... Nah, I was just asking for a job. I can't do that. So I was just asking for a job. But you don't...
Oh my goodness.
After that, we got the Adam Cole versus MJF video package leading from their tournament to the friendship to the match. Anything about it?
No, yeah, that's a match that we'll be able to talk about, you know, next time. But I'm glad that it was very, very promo-esque cinematic show tonight. So, uh-huh, I feel like we did not get a lot of wrestling. We got a lot of pushes for the future pay-per-views.
Yeah.
And for just furthering storylines in Collision. So it was just interesting to see that.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are coming into the home stretch. We are coming up to the main event. We're going to get the main event started off with this super chat that says, think AEW wanted Christian a main event after Edge main event? I mean, it could be Captain Charisma. It could be.
Oh, I didn't even think about that. That's cute. If they did do it like that.
I mean, I don't see why they would not. I mean, from the outside looking in, AEW is kind of cool like that. It's like, that's your friend. No problem. Get your friend on the phone. Phone a friend. You want to do that? That's fine. Yeah. You know, so maybe. But also, Edge and both Christian in their respective roles, for older dudes, they can go. They are really, so good. Yeah. This match between Darby Allin and Christian Cage was our main event. We had JR in commentary. Now, the match starts off with Christian Cage coming to the ring with the TNT title around his waist. He didn't ever win this title. He gets into the ring and then raises it above his head. He ain't never win this title. Christian Cage is the epitome of heel work at your big ass age, because he is so good at just being a menace. I put at the top of my notes, but for some reason, I think, and this is just me conspiracy theorizing theoreticals. Yeah. But it's just me and my brain. I'm thinking maybe Christian Cage hates Darby Allin so much because it reminds him of him when he was younger. Because you was in the Brood. You was doing spooky stuff back in the day. You were doing stuff that maybe for then was seen as death-defying. Take years off of your career. TLC was literally built off the backs of you, the Dudley Boys, and the Hardy Boys. Mm-hmm. So I could see that resentment that you're doing it by yourself without someone else. I could see the parallels. Maybe I'm reading too much into it. Either way, this match was fantastic. We have, again, someone else getting yeeted because Darby Allin got yeeted to counter a DDT. Cage yeets him. a nice series, 3 of 2 counts from Darby Allin, including an assisted cutter from the rope. At that point, Christian Cage just starts beating up Darby Allin, mocking the camera. You want this? No, not the camera. Mocking Darby Allin. You want this? Darby Allin crawling like, yes, I want it. And then just get hit, which I didn't understand. Why would you trust, like, would you trust the fisherman who says you want the worm? You why would you do that? There was a spot when Darby Allin pulls up this man's turtleneck over his head. I wore a turtleneck in solidarity, but I got a pin in the back, so he can't get me. I'm going to skip to the end. The end is, there's a lot of cheating. There's a spear on Darby Allin. Darby Allin kicks out. Luchasaurus gets sent to the back. And then there's a jackknife roll-up from Darby Allin on Christian, mm-hmm, Cage, which I feel like all things considered, a jackknife roll up, we could really have something definitive here, considering Christian Cage literally he's literally not the champion. I get why we're treating him like the champion, but poor Luchasaurus is just in the back like, Dino, Dino, do, 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 do. Like, poor Luchasaurus. What did you think about this? When is Luchasaurus getting the respect he deserves already?
Not soon, I'll tell you that, the way it's looking. I want to talk about Nigel one more time in commentary, because this man was crazy talking about how he signed up for Christian's classes. Like, what are you talking about? Also, he calls him Christian. So anytime he says Christian Cage, Christian. I absolutely live for it. Also, JR asked him a question while I think Darby was doing his entrance, and Nigel just did not answer. So they waited till Darby finally came in the ring, and then Nigel answered another question. So I don't know if that was like an audio issue, but I heard it and the silence was loud. Loud. I was here for it. Also, they had like AR Fox and Swerve watching backstage, which I'm like, okay, interesting. Still reminding us that, you know, they have a match later. They had a moment where Christian and Darby, they had pinfall after pinfall, but give Darby a raise and also give this man a break. I feel like I've seen him 27 times this week, and he's on Dynamite and he's on Rampage and Collision. And it's like, oh my goodness. And Christian too. Christian is a fighting champion.
Yeah. Listen, dinosaurs got old bones.
Ambient, okay? Oh my God. When you also brought it up that Darby was using Christian's turtleneck against him, and I'm like, all right, sir. Christian, it is now time to rethink this turtleneck, because if it can be used against you once, you know, we got to switch the outfit up. I need him to come out in like a jacket or something. I don't know. But man, that hit that Darby took when Luchasaurus pulled Christian out from that
coffin drop on the apron, the hardest part of the ring, mind you.
I that's what I've heard too. They say that it's the hardest part of the ring. I don't
that's
know.
What I've heard too. I don't know. I'm not a wrestler, but every week they say it's the hardest part of the ring.
That literally looked like it broke his back in half. It was insane. Did you feel the same way that I did when we saw that? Like, my heart was like, no.
Darby Allin dies every week on AEW programming. And to your point too, Darby Allin and Orange Cassidy went to if we talk about going to school, they went to the school of Jeff Jarrett on how to get a check. Because every week they are out here. Dynamite, Rampage, Collision. They would be on Meals for Wheels. They'd probably do Uber if they had to. Like, they're out here every week.
They'd probably be driving the AEW community bus. Go to show to get an extra check. Lord,
I want some autographs. Come and get your head signed.
Those boys were sweating. They were putting in the work. And I absolutely love to see matches like this where you can just tell that they're really, really giving it their all. And they were, man. When Luchasaurus was thrown out, I was like, we got 3 minutes left. Why are you throwing him out? Like, the show's almost over. Let him be there at this point.
I was thinking that too. And then also too, AEW, we got to talk about your officials, because people say, I'm leaving, and then they take the slowest. They don't even leave. There needs to be like a 10 count. There needs to be some sort of gusto, because people don't leave. They get midway through the ramp, Don Callis, turn around and be like, I'm not leaving. That's exactly what Luchasaurus did, because by the time he got to the ramp, the roll-up happened, and then he's back down the ramp for the post-match beatdown where, for some reason, Tony Schiavone was going to interview Darby Allin. I'm like, interview him. Oh, Darby Allin getting jumped.
In 2 minutes.
Darby Allin getting jumped. And that's what happened. Darby Allin got jumped. I said, put down Cage and Yoshi because I got tired of writing Luchasaurus.
Spicing up the names now.
We're spicing it up. But I mean, honestly, Luchasaurus is getting used like Yoshi. If you guys ever play Super Mario World, Mario jumps on the back of that dinosaur head, punches him in the back of the head so he sticks out his tongue. And that's what's happening. Poor Luchasaurus is the winner. He is the owner of the TNT title. And Cage is like, look at me. Look at who do you think you are? I am. Like, bro, the worst. But that wraps up our AEW Collision with Christian Cage closing it. His Toronto Canadian brother, Edge, closing it on Friday night SmackDown. Overall, what did you think of Collision, Iridian? Did you think it was good, bad, middle of the road?
I think it was pretty middle. I don't think it's the best Collision that we've seen. And I also don't think that it's at the bottom. I just wish that we had more wrestling, but I understand going into a pay-per-view, you got to really promote these shows. And you don't just have one pay-per-view. You got two pay-per-views coming up, and it's still Fight for the Fallen, which all their proceeds are going to Maui. So I think that's wonderful that they did that. Yeah. It is just, it was a good show. Yeah. For what it was, but man, Christian and the father classes that he's given, I don't know.
Bad death. How did you get a license to run a class? Let me ask you that. Where did you get this from? A Cracker Jack?
Everybody's in AEW just getting these magical things. Like, okay, Ricky with the manager license, Julia with the manager license, and now Christian Cage is giving classes. Literally, I don't know, but good for them. Get their check, right?
Again, Jeff Jarrett in the back giving out how to go to work classes. Guys, if you don't want to get worked, sign up for Fightful Select.
Yes.
Also, Iridian, where can people find you so they can get worked by you? Wait, what? No, what? Where, plug your socials. I'm sorry.
You guys can head over to my YouTube channel, Rest Friends. That's WREST Friends. We're your wrestling friends. We have vlogs, interviews. We literally review wrestling all the time. And you can head over to my TikTok, Instagram, and Facebook, whatever. Literally every social media, I have it. Iridian_Fiero. And every Saturday, you can find me here with the lovely Cresta and Rick. He's not here tonight, but he'll be back next week. Don't worry. Cresta, where can our beautiful Fightful family find you on social media?
I got one more super chat because my chat bar just finally reloaded. Here we go. We got Just Mass Does Wrestling says, man, I'm still here for the ROH. Half the crowd left. Mm. Woof. Woof.
Yikes. You know, you really got to be a fan of wrestling to watch it for that long.
Yeah, that's the only problem when you have live shows or anything like that. You can't expect people to sit down on their butts for 8 hours. I paid to be here. You guys are getting paid to be here. Mm-hmm. Anyway, you can find me Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays on Twitch or TikTok at Cresta Star. Thursdays and Saturdays here on Fightful. Thursdays with Joel Pearl, we go over everything that happened on Impact. And Saturdays, myself, Rick, and Iridian, the lovely young lady you see over here next to moi, we go over everything that happens on AEW Collision Post Show. Guys, you have been fantastic. Thank you so much for being here with this two-woman power trip. We will see you next week, Colliders. You have a wonderful weekend. Bye-bye now. Bye-bye. Goodbye. Goodbye. And broadcast. Goodbye. Goodbye.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger. For the ones who get it done.